Going to call the meeting to order. It's 7:02. And I will ask everyone to please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. And now the reading of meeting notice. This meeting is being conducted in compliance with the open meeting session that the Verona Board of Education passed a resolution at its annual reorganization meeting held on January 7, 2020. The meeting set forth the schedule of its regular meetings, which resolution was within 7 days of passage. The schedule was sent to the Verona Cedar Grove Times, the Star Ledger, the Herald News, Township of Verona, and the VEA. Postings of this meeting setting forth the time, location, and agenda were posted in each of Verona's 6 schools, board office, and town hall. This posting was also sent to the above newspapers, all SDA presidents, and SDA liaisons. The Verona Board of Ed operates under a consent agenda format, and any board member has the right to have an item pulled to be voted upon or discussed separately. Copies of tonight's agenda and resolutions have been made available to the public and the press. And then we will do a roll call for attendance. Mr. Turner?
Mr. Allworth.
I'm here.
Mrs. Drappy. Mrs. Drappy. Mrs. Prisco.
I'm here.
Mr. Day.
Here.
And Mrs. Freshy.
I am here.
Yeah, is Mrs. Drappy on the line?
I don't see her number on the line.
Right, maybe she'll drop back in. Maybe she has some technical difficulty.
I see her
now.
See
okay.
Mrs. Drappy?
Mrs. Drappy. Is Mrs. Drappy there?
Is she on mute?
No, she's not.
But she,
she's no longer on the line, so she may have hung up and she will probably dial back in.
Yeah, because she did text me and said, I'm trying to talk, I'm on the line.
So, I currently do not see her on the call, so.
Okay. So we will just...
I will let you know when I see her come back onto the call. I would continue with the meeting.
Yeah, we'll continue with the meeting and then just let us know that. Thank you. At this point in the meeting, we're going to open it up to public comments on agenda items only. So Dr. D'Anicio will open the line for any public to call in.
So any member of the public who wishes to speak on any agenda items, you can just press *6 on your telephone keypad and then follow the prompts, followed by the number 1 when prompted in the queue. And I will set that up at this point for the question and answer period. Okay, name and address, please.
George. George Kozacek, 100 Morningside Road, Verona, New Jersey.
Okay. Mr. Kozacek, the mic is yours.
Yes, I was just wondering what venue you were going to use. Are you going to use the mass email like you just used to put out information for the student commencement?
If is the question how we're going to communicate the details for the in-person graduation ceremony?
Correct.
So we'll have an update later on. Right now it's just public comments on any agenda items this evening. There will be another portion later on tonight that we'll be able to answer that question.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Can you answer that question later without asking it again?
It's in my superintendent report, so I'll be glad to.
Thanks.
Hello.
Okay. Next caller.
Hi, my name is Marwa Alessi, and my address is 36 Martin Road.
Okay. Hi, Marwa.
Hi. I was one of the organizers of the Black Lives Matter rally and a couple of other organizers and local community members are on this call today. I'm here to ask a question. So essentially, to address racial injustices, many schools across this county and New Jersey are revising their approach to accessibility and accuracy of the curriculum, hiring, and programs like Maplewood, West Orange, Leonia as well. And my question is, what steps will be taken here to ensure that systemic racism is being addressed in our curriculum and that our country's history as it pertains to Indigenous people, slavery, and civil rights are being taught accurately and all-encompassing, as well as creating a more diverse education department? As someone who attended Verona Public Schools, I received a watered-down version of slavery, of civil rights. I never learned about mass incarceration. I've never learned about the Tulsa massacre. So I need to know what Verona Public Schools are doing. And one more thing, other local community members and I are thinking about creating a petition like other towns have been doing, like Leonia. Thank you.
So thank you, Marwa. Just for clarification, and this may have not been clear, this portion of the public comments is on agenda items only, but I will address that and give an update on that in my superintendent report in a few moments when we get to that point. Be glad to.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Marwa.
Okay, thank you for public questions and comments. And the public questions that we did receive were not on agenda items, but Dr. Dean Nitzio clarified that he will answer those questions during his superintendent report. And that is, we have no presentations tonight, so we are going to hand it over to Dr. Dean Nitzio now for his superintendent's report.
Thank you, Mrs. Freschi. And what I'll also note is, I believe, just for the record for Mr. Turner, Mrs. Drappi is back on the call. So, Mrs. Drappi, can you hear us?
Huh. Is she muted?
She's not. So I will continue with my superintendent report. Mrs. Drappi, can you hear us now?
Yes, I can hear you. I'm sorry, my call dropped twice, so I apologize. I'm here. Thank AT&T for that.
Great. Okay. Thank you. So good evening, everyone. First, I'd like to start off with an update regarding the referendum. The work that's going on across the district is taking place in every school, and we have a lot of activity regarding roofs, playgrounds, paving, masonry. So each of the schools is very, very busy. I'm happy to report that the work is moving along nicely. We're making good progress, and we're staying on track with the work that's being done. School property is closed because of all of the activity that we have going on. In fact, yesterday we had to shut down Sampson Drive because of so much activity back and forth between the parking lot, which has materials, to the high school building, which poses some safety dangers, some safety issues for not only vehicles but also for pedestrians. So that is closed for the foreseeable future until we feel more comfortable with our contractors that it's a safe situation for pedestrians. Shifting over to graduation and the end of the year update, considering the circumstances with COVID, it seems like the end of the year went very well. The eighth grade promotion ceremony and the fourth grade farewells that were all on the video presentation went very well, and visits to the students' homes at the elementary level. So things seem to be very, very positive. I want to thank all of the principals, administrators, and custodians, and our teachers and staff for really banding together, making it special for our kids. I'd especially like to give recognition to Verona High School, who put forth a superb ceremony that was live-streamed on Friday evening, the 19th. We've received a lot of positive feedback on that very special and memorable tribute to our special graduates. The quality of the event was tremendous, and the amount of time that Verona High School administration and staff put together in order to make all of those individual family ceremonies possible and recording them, and all the behind-the-scenes work was absolutely tremendous. So hats off to our principal, Mr. Cogdill, and Mr. Lancaster, and the entire team, especially the custodial and maintenance staff who helped set up and break down every single day, and to Rob Posner, the videographer, who helped pull it all together. So it was very, very well received, and we're happy that our seniors were able to have a nice individual family ceremony that made it special for them. In our video ceremony, we also announced that there will be, on July 8th, with a rain date of July 9th, a senior graduate in-person ceremony. It will be a student-only ceremony. There will be no family in attendance. We will have one ceremony, and all of the details that will pertain to that will be sent out via email communication to the senior students and their parents. And we expect that that will go out in the coming days, probably later on one day this week, as details are being finalized. As we approach the next topic that I have that I want to give an update on, there will also be communication that will go out most likely by next week on this topic, is around the potential reopening of school in September as a result of COVID. So as of today, we have yet to receive any guidance regarding the reopening of school from the Department of Education in New Jersey. We do anticipate, we're being told that that will be coming. Initially, we were told that we would be receiving that by the middle of June. Obviously, we're past the middle of June at this point. As a district, we've organized and will be facilitating conversations with our staff and administration around six different action committees: facilities, governance, instruction, operations, technology, and wellness. So we have a lot of volunteers here in our district who will be meeting around these different topics with planning for what school would look like under the recommendations from the government if school is to reopen. We anticipate that there will be, and we hope that there will be, a reopening of school in September. But what that will look like is going to be very different than what our students and our families and our teachers have been accustomed to. By following the recommendations from public health officials, especially around social distancing. So as one can imagine, normally it's not unusual to have 20, 25, 28 students at the high school in some of our classes. Based on the square footage of the rooms and maintaining social distancing rules, it will definitely not be a normal capacity. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to be awaiting the final guidance and direction from the state, but we are beginning our planning phases so that way we're prepared for hopefully the potential reopening of school in September. But that may mean no more than 10, at max 12 students in a classroom with social distancing. So more questions than there are answers. At this point, we will apprise the community as we know more information. As I mentioned, I will be sending out a communication on this next week. In looking at what school schedule could look like, there may be some sort of hybrid schedule since we'll have to potentially do some sort of rotation is something that we're looking at. If we have to have, no more than 10 or 12 students in a class with some remote learning. But the goal is, as long as we get clearance from the governor and the Department of Education to reopen school, but that has not yet been announced. There's also, along with this, a budgetary impact. As we've said at our previous Board of Education meetings, Governor Murphy has recently announced that Verona is potentially going to have a reduction in state aid of $182,000. So we have already cut our budget back, most recently within the past week, in order to account for that almost $200,000 loss. Governor Murphy, at the end of August, will be giving another state of the budget address based on what the revenue impact looks like, loss impact may look like. And we will get a more accurate picture from the governor at that time as to whether or not we will have to cut more than what's being predicted right now, stay the same, or if things improve, hopefully not have to cut the $182,000. But as of right now, that's what they're predicting. And then there's also the implication of if we're doing a hybrid schedule in our schools, what the additional demands are that were unbudgeted for. So as you can imagine, purchasing items such as masks and hand sanitizers and items that are shields for offices, things of that nature regarding PPE, there's a cost associated with that. We realized those costs in this year's budget when COVID happened, and we only bought what we needed because naturally we were doing remote learning, so there were some expenses that were unbudgeted for. It's impossible to predict that COVID was going to be here. When we approved our budget, it was in April, and we had only been on remote learning for probably about 5 weeks at that point, maybe four. So we are in a position where we're going to have to take a look at what recommendations come from these six action committees. So that way, if we're doing a hybrid learning come September and throughout the year, then what are the things that we're going to need in order to be best prepared? And then what are the associated costs that come with that? So the potential budget impact is not only the potential loss of state aid, but it's also the potential expenditures that were unbudgeted for in trying to prepare for something that we don't have any guidance on yet. So the district's taking a proactive approach and has been planning and now has a number of stakeholders at the table so that way we can get everybody's feedback and make sure that we are in a good position moving forward. And then the one item that I will address that I'm adding to it now is to just provide an update to people who were on this committee, specifically Marwa's comment regarding the recent protest. And I just want to recognize students for holding such a positive, peaceful protest and advocating against racism and supporting not only their peers, but people of all color and black lives. And I have shared with the board, and we've had conversations, and this was shared in a public notice. I'm not sure if everybody on the call received it, if they're no longer a student here, but a number of weeks ago, we did put out a message to the community with our commitment to making sure that we're supporting all students and that we're supporting looking at the curriculum and making sure that we're examining hiring practices and ensuring that the conversations are being had at the table with all stakeholders, with students, that students, parents, staff that are black and that are of all races and all backgrounds, to make sure that we're having constructive and positive conversations to continue to make progress here and to ensure that if there are changes that need to be made, that we have a process and a table by which all voices can be heard, and examining where we're, what we're doing currently, what we're doing well, and what we need to do a better job of. And then last but not least, the last piece that I have is, and we will be having a special additional board meeting next week. We have some business that we're going to have to approve before the end of the month. So the board will be announcing later tonight that we'll be adding June 29th as an additional board meeting this month. After that June 29th meeting, the next meeting that we have on our schedule is not until the end of July. And we have a lot of activity going on with end-of-the-year items and the referendum, so we want to make sure we get another meeting on before we break into the summer. And we'll do a confidential session at 6:30 with a public session at 7 p.m. And that'll be advertised and put on our website and in the local newspaper. And that is all I have for the superintendent report.
Thank you, Dr. D'Anicio. Does anyone have any questions or comments in regard to Dr. D'Anicio's superintendent's report?
Yeah, I just had a quick comment. Again, I wanted to thank Dr. D'Anicio for being the point for getting this graduation to be such a successful event. I know the staff, the principals, Josh Cogdell. I know Mrs. Breschke did a wonderful job with the speech on the video, and I want to thank the families, the parents, the students, and all those folks, the maintenance staff, everybody who was involved in making such a powerful video. That was really in tough times, I think that's going to be a memory that people will remember, saying, I was one of that graduating class that did that special event and did that amazing video, and something to remember. And so I want to thank everybody for the wonderful job that was done in that video.
Thank you, Mr. Day. I echo those sentiments. It was great.
It was, definitely.
Mrs. Freshy, I would like to just add something really quick. This is Mrs. Drappi. I want to thank Dr. D'Anicio also for the wonderful graduation ceremony, but I also want to thank him for his commitment to not only combating racism in our community, but really his commitment to helping our teachers and our students become better educated on the components and the systems of racism, and allowing for our community to have a stake in all of this. And I think that's incredibly important.
Thank you, Mrs. Drappi. I think I'm going to just jump on the back of that while you're talking about it, and I'm going to assume that Marla is still listening, and I want to thank her for being one of the organizers. I did attend the event, and Mrs. Drappi was there and other board members, so we are paying attention and doing a deep dive, and I think Marla, you used the term that you had a watered-down history of some of these, of systemic racism, and I want to say in my mid-50s, when I was in high school and middle school, it was very watered down, and I am very late to this game, but my eyes are opened, and I'm so happy to be becoming educated and seeing what the problem is and really empathizing with it and being very proud to be part of a board in a district who's making the commitment to not only, you know, to really just be against racism and educate people. So it's an eye-opener. So I do want to thank the organizers for that event. It was very, very well done and powerful. If there's no other comments, the only committee report we have this week is our finance report. And Mr. Allworth, if you want to take on that.
Yeah, I can take that. Okay, so as Dr. D'Anicio already covered, the referendum projects are moving along. There are a few change orders that are that have been filed, which is completely typical of this sort of construction work, and it has been budgeted for and all of that. You know, it's pretty normal and not unexpected, and I'm sure those will continue to come in as the referendum is going, but it's all moving along according to plan. We have the auditor RFP was in the Star Ledger on the 17th, and all of those RFPs are due by the 26th. We're hoping to get a number of interested firms to conduct the audit, so hopefully we will hear from some of those soon. Our CARES Act grant application was submitted and approved, and we've received about $137,000 to help pay for some of the costs related to the pandemic. That money can only be used for costs associated with the pandemic, so we can't take it and use it for any other. But that will be very helpful in dealing with everything that we're dealing with right now and in the fall. We are starting to put together our end-of-year projections as we're getting ready for our annual audit. We are anticipating to have a surplus, but things could change between now and the end of the year. So, but it's looking okay at this point. We had a nice surprise yesterday. We received $110,000 in refunds from our insurance pool. Basically, when you enter into the insurance pool with other schools, you're assessed an invoice for what they expect to be paying out during the year. And if you don't spend it, you can receive some of that money back. So we got a nice little surprise yesterday. We are filling out applications for a FEMA grant, which is also helping to pay for pandemic-related expenses, and we are filling out that application now. It's an 18-page document, so it's pretty lengthy, and we're trying to get that in. We can be reimbursed up to 75% of pandemic-related expenses, and that can be used in conjunction with money from the CARES Act, so that would be good if we are successful in that application. And lastly, Mr. Turner is looking through all of our old accounts and trying to organize and consolidate everything. There were a couple old dormant accounts that he's trying to transfer back into the general fund and, you know, get that money back to improve our cash position. So he is up. We're going to hopefully, I forget what resolution number it is, but make him the key executive so that he can access all of those accounts and put us in a better position. And he's also working closely with Matt Larracy to make sure that he and Matt Larracy are on the same page as they're putting together all of their treasury and secretary reports. I think that was everything.
The only thing that I'm going to add that we talked about was the ELISA's law and being compliant.
Oh, yeah.
And for people who don't know, ELISA's law is a law that calls for the installation of a silent panic alarms that are linked directly to law enforcement. So it's going to be a coordination between our police chief. He'll sign off on it, our architect, and the superintendent. And we need to get that wrapped up. I think the due date was the end of July, if I'm not mistaken. And I think you did, yes, cover everything else. Does anybody have any questions in regard to finance? So no, if not, we'll move on with our regular agenda to discussion items. And the only thing that I want to give a shout out to are our elementary school principals. I see a lot of them on Twitter and on Facebook, and apparently the principals and the mascots of each of the elementary schools for the fourth graders went around and kind of did house calls and drive-bys. Is that correct, Dr. Dionisio? I was seeing some pictures of, yeah.
It is.
So that's just three. And I think that's part of what makes, you know, living in Verona special. I mean, you really do get that community sense. So in the heat, they were dressed up in their bulldog and their FN Brown D and, you know, showing up at students' houses for drive-bys. I thought it was great. Are there any other discussion items that we haven't covered?
It's on the agenda, Mrs. Freshy. This is Mrs. Drappy, but I wanted to give a shout out to Ms. Freda and Mrs. Walker for their VC grant for the Lightbox technology. I'm sorry, I'm looking for the email right now as I speak. I'm sure they could speak to it a little bit better, but this is going to be truly amazing for our elementary school kids. It allows for virtually unlimited access to, and this is how I understand it, I may be incorrect on this, but it allows for an incredible access to nonfiction and fiction books that are leveled in a certain way, and I just think this is really going to open up incredible opportunities for our young readers, so I just want to thank them for working on that grant.
Thank you for that. Is there any other comments or concerns, old or new business? If no, then we are going to move to do a roll call to vote on resolutions. So I need a motion to move on to resolutions.
Motion for Mr. Day.
Motion by Mr. Day and second.
I'll second that. I'll second that, Mrs. Prisco.
Second by Mrs. Prisco. And is there any discussion? I know I have a couple of resolutions that I would like tabled. I would like to table resolution number 10, resolution number 24, and on resolution number 23, the second line I would like deleted from the list of getting renewed for right now and for further discussion. Does anybody else have any questions or discussion on resolutions?
No.
If no, then we are going to vote for the approval of resolutions 1 through 67, excluding number 10, number 24, and line 2 of resolution number 23. And I think we can vote on that.
That's correct. Mr. Allworth.
Yes.
Mrs. Drappy.
Yes.
Mrs. Prisco.
Yes.
Mr. Day.
Yes.
And Mrs. Freshy.
Yes.
Motions pass.
Excellent. I'm just scrolling down through the long agenda so I can get to the end. At this point, we can open up the floor to public comments on any topic. So again, Dr. Dionisio will open the floor to public comments. Oh, you know what? I did forget to add with the finance. Dr. Dionisio did mention it during his report, and I just want to reiterate that Monday night, June 29th, we are going to do a special meeting to wrap up some of those treasury reports and finance things that we need to get completed by the end of the school year. So I just want to make note that that special meeting will be Monday, June 29th, the confidential session at 6:30 with the public session at 7 p.m. I'm sorry for that disruption. So, Dr. D'Amicio, if you want to open the floor to any public comment on any topic at this point.
Absolutely. So, once again, star six for anybody who wishes to ask any questions or make any comment on any item. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, name and address, please.
My name is Hannah Meir. My address is 21 Otsego Road.
Hi, Hannah. The microphone's
on. Hi. Thank you. I'm calling in tonight because I just wanted my perspective to be heard. I have been affiliated with both the Verona Black Lives Matter group and also the Cedar Grove and Verona Social Justice group. As a minority in our community and a person of color, I have had difficulty hearing other parents say that they won't teach about Black Lives Matter in their home. They would not like to teach about systemic racism. During this pandemic, parents were saying our kids are already scared and confused. People were feeling that it was not appropriate to discuss with children. Parents want to shield their kids from more stress. The problem is that people of color can't shield their kids from what is going on because of their skin color. Not hearing the words in our schools that Black Lives Matter was very difficult. The silence was deafening. How can we ensure when our kids return to school in fall that they will hear the acknowledgement that Black Lives Matter and not feel further marginalized?
So I could comment on that. As I mentioned earlier, as the superintendent of schools and on behalf of the Board of Education and the entire district, I sent a communication out that went out to not only all staff and all parents, but it also went out to all students in grades 5 through 12, and it also went to the local newspapers, making sure that the community understood that we believe that all Black Lives Matter, and our commitment to ensuring that we continuously improve and make sure that school is a safe place for each and every child. I can also tell you that there, within the curriculum, I know for a fact from some communications with parents over the past few weeks regarding teachers who made tie-ins to the curriculum around protesting and what was going on today and making connections with the core content standards and with our curriculum. That's not to say that we're perfect. That's not to say that we don't have a lot of work ahead of us. I think we all do. But there has been that effort. But I would agree there is a lot more work ahead of us, and that's the purpose of the committee. And I could tell you that the district is committed to that effort. To make sure that we continuously improve and make sure that the experiences of each and every child is a positive one and that they all feel safe, welcome, and accepted, all as equals, and that we are supporting each and every one.
Yeah, I totally agree with everything that you're saying and was very appreciative when you had sent out your statement to the district. I think there are many parents that are committed to also being on this long haul to correct what is needing to be corrected in our schools. Mm-hmm. That being said, unfortunately, both of my children didn't hear that message in both of their online Zoom calls and didn't hear that message loud and clear. So hopefully in joining even with that subcommittee, people can add their perspectives and make a positive change.
That is certainly our goal and our hope. And what I can also share is I've received interest from students and parents and community members that don't have children in the school who are interested in being part of the action committee that we will be formulating. There will be a formal communication that will come from my office to the entire community that will have an opportunity for us to solicit participants, people who may be interested, because we really want to get a great cross-section of people from our community with ideas, so that way we can open it up to the public of whoever wants to be part of this initiative. So I would encourage everyone to keep an eye out for that in the coming weeks, and then we'll take the next month or so in order to kind of put that together and then be able to start that initiative when school starts in September. It's going to be a really important initiative, naturally, and one that the district is seriously committed to.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, this is Julie DiGeronimo.
Julia, can you just share your address with us, please?
66 Morningside Road.
Okay, thanks, Julia. The microphone's yours.
Thank you. As well as Marwa, I am also one of the organizers of the protest that occurred on about 2 weeks ago, and I reached out to you, Mr. Denisio, about how that information will be integrated into the curriculum, and I just wanted to specify something you included. I know you've talked about the committee that will be formed, but you also explained that you will be exploring partnerships with professionals, and I want to know if that has been acted on and what you plan to do with that.
So that hasn't been formally acted on yet. What we're in the process of doing is we have a communication with some people regarding different and just for the public's sake, so that way they understand what my response to Ms. DiGeronimo was, I had referenced that part of this initiative, and I believe I mentioned this at the last board meeting during my superintendent report, is that we are going to be engaging a professor, a specialist at the college or university level that will be able to assist us in this work. Somebody that specifically deals with systemic racism and can guide us in our efforts. What we're doing right now, we've had discussions as an administrative team, and we have some people within our community that have connections and references to professors at the collegiate level that may be worth our while to interview to see if the work that they've done and their expertise matches up with the work that we want to do here in Verona. So that will take some time, but we'll be doing that over the course of the summer, so that way we can have that guidance going into the fall.
Thank you. And I also speak for a large amount of people that I am talking to about the curriculum, and we want to be involved in how you guys handle it and add things to it. Would you be able to keep us notified on each step that you do and how you plan to work on it?
Absolutely. And actually, we have a committee already around curriculum that we've had for many years. I would say probably about 10 years. It could be longer. That's called the Curriculum Committee with Dr. Miller. So if anybody is interested, they couldn't participate in that at this time, even before we spearhead this committee. But there will be some dovetailing between the committee that we're forming that we're talking about here, and how that connects to the curriculum committee. But that vehicle does already exist, and that committee is comprised of administrators, teachers, and parents, and community members. Anybody who wants to participate can participate. But we'll have more work on that, and I imagine that there's going to be closer examination of this coming out of this committee that we're talking about.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Nadinicio.
You're welcome, Julia.
Thank you for the public comments and questions. So I feel like we're in the right direction to really move forward with this initiative. So I applaud everybody for coming together for this. I do need to go back. I opened, when I was sitting home in front of my computer, I opened the earlier version of our meeting minutes, our agenda. So we need to approve resolutions number 68 through 74, and also addendum resolutions number 1 through 6. So can I have a motion to approve the additional resolutions and addendum resolutions?
So moved, Mrs. Drappy.
Moved by Mrs. Drappy. And second, I need a second.
Second, Mr. Day.
And second by Mrs. Day. Thank you. So we'll make a roll call to vote on resolutions number 16 through 74 and addendum resolutions number 1 through 6. Mr. Turner, can you do the roll call?
Mr. Allworth.
Yes.
Mrs. Drappy.
Yes.
Mr. Day.
Yes.
Mrs. Prisco?
Yes.
And Mrs. Freshy?
Yes. Thank you. And again, I apologize for that. Excellent. And I believe that is the conclusion of our meeting. So I need another motion to adjourn the meeting.
So moved, Mr. Day.
Mr. Day, and second?
I'll second that, Mrs. Prisco.
And seconded by Mrs. Prisco. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? So the meeting is adjourned officially at 7:49 p.m. And again, we have the special meeting on Monday, June 29th, with 6:30 confidential, 7:00 public, and then looking forward, we don't have another meeting again until the end of July, Tuesday, July 28th. So I do want to say thank you to everybody. Have an awesome summer and vacation, and board members, I'll see you all next week on our little Zoom call. So thank you.
Good.
Thank you.
Take care, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night,
everyone.
Good night.